Okay, everybody, welcome to your February Hanover Happenings update. This is going to be slightly different this month, and we are coming out about a week late here. We'll return to the kind of more regular format and schedule next month. In this update, we're going to cover some updates from February select board meetings, including some appointments, discussion of a potential town leash law from last year, Hanover community power updates, and some grants. I didn't really do a monthly report for February. Pretty much every waking and some non-waking hours were spent for the month on the budget. I did give a few quick updates in the March 6th meeting, which I'll share in our March update. And so we're going to be talking a lot about budget in today's update as well. So in our select board meetings, which were February 6th and February 27th, we talked about a couple different things. One is we accepted unanticipated funds and held public hearings for those. That included, for example, $140,000 back from meals and rooms revenue from the state, $219,000 in highway and bridge funds from the state, $81,000 in New Hampshire retirement system refunds, a $50,000 grant for a lead service line study, and $90,000 grant split between water and wastewater. We also had a conversation on February 6th about the potential warrant articles that we were preparing to bring to town meeting in May. So we ran through those just to make sure everybody was on the same page, and that includes all the budget and collective bargaining related warrant articles, two warrant articles for bond issues related to water and wastewater improvements, and now a third warrant article for a bond issue related to a purchase of a fire engine. We're also planning on bringing forward the rental housing inspection ordinance that we discussed in detail last year. One or two warrant articles to move the Mink Brook Community Forest Project, Workforce Housing Project for program forward. Another was RSA 4114 and RSA 8080. These are both fairly common and helpful mechanisms that allow in addition to town meeting, also allow the select board the ability to purchase and sell property, which may be important in the coming months and years based on some of the goals that are coming through the Master Plan Advisory Committee and Planning Board that are coming up to town meeting. Also, two warrant articles to update our veteran tax credits what I think will be actually two warrant articles for a total of four, updating some errors in the prior year's warrant articles about the fees generated from property coming out of current use, which gets split, for example, the Conservation Commission. So we're updating those numbers. And so we discussed all of those in the select board meeting and got some guidance on continuing to kind of work on that, which we're doing right now, in addition to preparing the warrant articles and town report and the budget. We also had a conversation on the 6th, I'll go back to the leash law, which was potentially going to be a warrant article and looks like it will not be. And I'll talk a little bit more about that because that's a can of worms in a moment. So on the 6th, we also had a kind of a quick check-in about the anticipated format of the budget presentations and materials this year. We just walked through a couple details of some of the ways that things were going to look a little bit different and just making sure we're providing the right information, which is, of course, an ongoing process. Myself and our new finance director are both new. So with that, of course, comes kind of a new set of eyes and some changes to the way that we're presenting information. Some that will start this year and continue on. But folks' feedback from the select board, from the finance committee, from the public, all very important, making sure that we're providing the right information that people need to see. We also accepted donations to the Etna Library from Eric and Susan Shirley, so thank you both for that. We had some kind of more routine business items, and then on the 27th, we came back to the budget, which I'll come back to in a moment. So a couple other updates from those meetings. I'll talk a little bit about Hanover Community Power first. So there have been, it sounds like there's been a couple delays in getting just some information back from some of the utilities. But so the start date, I do not believe there is one at the time of this recording, an exact date. You know, everything has been tracking towards April. There is now a website live at communitypowernh.gov. And you can either click on or you can go to communitypowernh.gov/Hanover. And there you can find more information about this really great program. You can also reach out if you have questions that aren't answered on the FAQ on that website. You can reach out to sustainablehanovernh@gmail.com. And of course, a huge thanks to everybody for helping to move this really important project forward and helping to meet our sustainability goals. Okay, so next, I'll do a quick update on the leash law discussion, and then we'll jump into some introductory budget stuff, which we're going to be talking a lot more about over the next month or two as we move towards town meeting on May 9th. So the leash law, there was some confusion. There was a couple conversations last year and some questions that were raised about kind of what options were available for the town to address some of the issues related to dogs and leashes on different types of publicly accessible properties. I did a pretty thorough deep dive into this topic, which was rough, but doggone it, I wanted to make sure that, you know, the tail wasn't wagging the dog, not to shed my responsibility. Okay, all right, sorry. I think I've used up my wordplay quota for the month. So I did prepare a 7-page memo that is available on hanovernh.org in the agenda section of the website for the February 6th meeting. And that's if you want to get into all the hairy details of it. But for those of you who just want a summary, here is kind of a very quick summary of a much longer conversation that was really meant to make sure everybody kind of fully understood all of the options and information that was out there. So basically, there is existing state law. There's no action needed on our part or even allowed on our part, but there's existing state law in place that allows us to enforce some of the most egregious and problematic issues related to dog behavior. That includes loud or aggressive or violent dogs. It also includes ones who defecate on property that isn't the owner's property. And so that's already in place at the state level. And what we talked about was creating a set of local policies with a group of stakeholders that would apply to town-owned property. And that is where the select board has authority as the governing body. There is very minimal authority, really almost no authority other than the one RSA that was discussed last year and really doesn't meet our goals in any way and is not recommended to be implemented, not in large part because of the way the RSA is written and that it overlaps with one that's already on the books and is not a local option. So there's very limited select board authority to regulate, for example, on publicly accessible but privately owned land. So, for example, that includes the Dartmouth College Green or Pine Park. The select board cannot make rules that apply to that other than that one RSA. So the idea is to bring the right stakeholders together, make policies for town-owned property, which includes inside of town buildings, outside of town buildings, in town park land, or on sidewalks or public spaces, for example, in the downtown. And then bring those stakeholders together and expand those rules, which I provided some recommendations for, so that basically all large private landowners and the town can be basically on the same page about what the rules are. We can create one set of clear and consistent policies that will be enforced differently, right, between public property and private property that's publicly accessible. But at least there'll be a clear set of rules in place. And the idea is to basically minimize possible negative encounters or issues while maximizing people's freedom to enjoy the time outside with their animals. And so I create a sort of threshold for that that I talk a little bit more about in the memo that basically overly simplistically boils down to that there would be two different types of property. For example, a town park would be different than the sidewalk in the downtown. Town park might be that you are allowed to have your dog off leash unless needed. And the needed is triggered by a few different things, the most important of which is if somebody asks you to put your dog on a leash. And so that there's no, from an enforcement perspective, there's no debate. Well, was the dog barking too much or aggressive or this or that? It just boils straight down to if you're in a public place and somebody requests that you restrain your dog, that you would be required to do so. And that's something that we discussed a lot with our town attorney, and they support that as a more clear way than trying to define what good behavior or bad behavior is. It also encourages people to be aware of each other and talk to each other, which is something that we'd like to be able to do. That might be different, for example, than a sidewalk in the downtown where a restraint device like a leash or a carrying device might be required at all times because it's really not as safe to have dogs running off leash in downtown in parking lots and street, etc. And so the idea is to create those two different kind of zones, create a clear set of guidelines and rules, work with all the stakeholders of who own large private but publicly accessible property, put all that together, do a big education campaign, get clear signage and messaging, and basically see how that works and feel relatively confident that this is something that will work, address some of the needs in the community, doesn't overly regulate this, doesn't create issues, enforcement issues down the road, and allows people, you know, kind of balances the interests that are at stake here. So again, if you want to dive a little bit more into that, you can find that on our website under the agenda for February 6th, Select Board meeting. Okay, so a budget update. Hard to know exactly where to begin here. So basically, what I just want to cover for maybe 5 or 10 minutes here is a couple highlights. And so first, let me start off with a few kind of initial comments. So the first is that all the budget information that we're making available is all available online at hanovernh.org/budget. So far, this includes all the presentations that we did last week, new for this year, a full Excel file going back multiple years. That's the same Excel workbook that we're using internally to do the budget. I just cleaned up a little bit. On that budget dashboard is a narrative of capital projects, also all the social service applications, and more will be added at the end of each week leading up to March 20th. And each time we add new stuff, there is a document that we update that is meant to detail all of the changes to the budget so that you can sort of follow along easily. So we've also discussed the budget in broad terms in a handful of Select Board meetings, including on January 23rd and February 6th. We had our budget presentations, which it was all of the departments, an initial overview of the whole budget, the tax rate, and a handful of other really important highlights. That was all done on February 27th, 28th, and March 1st in public Select Board meetings. All of those are recorded and available on YouTube through CATV Jam's channel, which are also all linked and broken up by section on our budget dashboard. So if you want to go straight into the capital improvement plan, you can go to hanovernh.org/budget, find that section of the video, and head off and find that on YouTube. Next is we are basically working on incorporating the feedback that we got from those 3 nights. This is a little bit of a different process this year where we did the presentations and then scheduled 2 to 3 weeks to be able to take feedback, take questions for Ellen and I to work on the budget and then bring a revised budget basically ready for introduction on March 20th. And that's where we hope that the budget will be approved to move on to town meeting. If there are more questions that come up on the 20th that are not answered, we do have one more backstop, which is March 27th, 1 week later, where we can pass the budget there. But we do have to do it at that point because there are statutory deadlines that we have to meet going forward up to town meeting. So then we'll, after that is approved on March 20th or March 27th, we will then on April 10th, and April 17th have public hearings and discussions of the budget as we prepare print warrant articles and everything up leading up to May 9th. So would strongly suggest that if you're interested in learning about the budget, not to wait till May 9th at town meeting. Head off to the website, check out the presentations, plug in, learn about the areas that you want to, reach out with questions, attend the March 20th meeting or the March 27th meeting or the April 10th or April 17th meeting to be able to provide feedback, ask questions, learn more. The last point that I'll start with is just that we're making this process and documentation more interactive and transparent, but this is a work in progress. And again, as I mentioned, Ellen and I, of course, are both new here. This is our first budget cycle in Hanover. So if you notice errors in the budget or have suggestions on how things could be presented or what information should be included or not included, please reach out to me and let me know. We're taking that feedback into account, taking the guidance from the select board, feedback from the finance committee, and just trying to make this as accessible of a process as possible for everybody. Okay, so I'm just going to cover a few really basic points about the budget today, and we will follow up with this with more budget updates in future episodes. So first, why is a budget important? I mean, in broad strokes, right, a budget is not some sort of technical accounting document, but it is really the guiding framework for how the town government operates, especially in New Hampshire. The appropriations that are made at town meetings set the stage for what can happen, what the town government can spend money on in the following year. So it is a, whether it is explicit or implicit, it is a codification of the values and goals. And it's really the closest thing to sort of a goal document that we have right now. But this is actually an area in need of improvement. For example, we have land use changes that are coming through the planning board from the Sustainable Master Plan Advisory Committee that are heading off to town meeting. But if those pass and that changes certain policies, how do we formally connect those changes to budget and management priorities? So right now, there's not really a formal connection point. And one of the things that's been clear in the time that I've been here so far is that we could improve the integration between plans and budgets between the stakeholders in our community. You know, I've had conversations with the incoming president, Sian Bylock at Dartmouth, with Jay Baddams, superintendent of the schools, other key stakeholders. Folks are all very interested in finding ways to integrate our planning more. And to some degree, that starts with sort of doing that in our own house on the town government side. So next year, what we're going to be trying to do is create some of those formal connection points. And what that really means, and we go into this a lot more in the budget presentations, is that goals and objectives that are coming from land use changes through town meeting, feedback that we're getting and that we want to solicit more formally from the community, priorities that select board members have, that all of these different things need to be integrated with what department heads have as plans for their own department for the future year, what the financial constraints that they are aware of, because they're really the experts in what they do in each of their departments, which you'll certainly, that will be obvious if you haven't watched any of the budget presentations that you do. They know their budgets and their operations really, really well. All of those things need to get reconciled. And so what we're talking about doing for next year's budget, sort of frighteningly close to starting after when we finish this year's budget, is creating more of a strategic planning and goal setting framework that the budget would fit into and flow out of. And that would involve soliciting community feedback, formalizing goals and values that come from town meeting, and making sure all of those points are connected. That's something that we really want to work on going forward. And so we talk about that a little bit during the budget presentations. So to zoom down a little bit into what is happening this year, let's talk a little bit about a very quick and high-level summary of some of the key points from this year's budget. Okay, so here are a couple really high-level summary points from this year's budget. This is really, really high level. So if you want to go into more detail, definitely keep an eye out for future episodes or head over to hanovernh.org/budget to get more information. First, we are confident at this point that the initial 6.8% blended tax rate increase, and that includes the general and fire funds, that we brought to the select board will indeed be the ceiling, and that we may very well be able to actually come down a little bit from there over the next couple weeks as we make our final adjustments. The select board gave us guidance to bring in a budget with a maximum tax rate increase of 7%, and if we could, below 6%. Although this is certainly the biggest tax increase in any budget I've ever introduced, and I believe that is the same for this select board, that guidance for 7%, it wasn't taken lightly by anyone. And it's unfortunately not at all out of line with where many local governments are at right now. And there is an argument to be made that it's even surprisingly modest considering some of the increases, the significant increases in costs that we are facing right now. I'll talk a little bit more about some of those cost drivers in a moment. But also this year, we do open up a broader conversation about what tools are available in future years to make sure that tax increases coming down the line don't fall squarely on the shoulder of existing taxpayers. And thinking about how we can reduce or spread that burden in future years so as to help make Hanover more affordable in the future, even as costs rise. There's a lot of discussion that is starting to be brought into the process about how what we're doing in this year impacts future years and how we can create more integrated long-term plans, something I'll come back to in a little bit. Number two, most departments are level funding most of their operations. There's a handful of smaller exceptions and one or two bigger ones that I'll mention in a moment. But most departments, when we met at the very beginning of the budget process last year, we talked about trying this year to keep operation non-personnel expenses as tight as possible, because we all knew, and we've talked about this many times before on the podcast and in the select board meetings, that we have a little bit of ground to make up with staff compensation. And that was really the priority this year. Now, that isn't something that we can continue forever, right? Because as inflation is rising, keeping operating costs the same undercuts the purchasing power of that money over time. But department heads did a really great job at basically keeping things trimmed down so that we can allocate money towards compensation. Salary and wage increases, the personnel costs, are almost $1 million of an increase in this year's budget. And that is around 6% or so of that 6.8%. And we did our salary, we began our salary study last year solicited feedback from employees, and I go into that in much more detail in the day three budget presentations. We've talked about it a lot before, but we had some really serious ground to make up there with staff compensation. So that is by far the biggest cost driver in the budget this year. Most of the other, not all, but most of the other operations, pretty level funded, very small increases, very small decreases in a handful of areas. Outside of that, some rising costs related to benefits, which is really part of personnel, some rising energy costs and consumer goods costs. Number three, housing and related issues are having a major impact on our budget and on our town operations. Whether it's the inability for us to offer more competitive packages to potential employees because housing costs are so high here and trying to compete with an employer in maybe another part of the state or region is sometimes really difficult for us to do, or the lack of childcare services in our region, which is due to staffing shortages, which is often due to lack of housing, or the high cost of certain trade-related fields or construction. All of these things, the lack of affordable housing in our region is really having a multi-layered cascading impact on our budget, town operations, and community. It's been discussed for decades, but it is a super critical issue that we need to, that all of us, not just in town, but in the region, need to address with a little more urgency and proactivity. I think a lot of good changes are in the works right now to do that, but want to make sure to put a point on that for our budget and our operations, that it is having a major negative impact. Again, not just on the community, but on town operations. Number four is that there are some major costs on the horizon. So there's several significant capital projects for water and wastewater. Now, those are going to be borne by ratepayers, but of course, many of you that are listening that are taxpayers, of course, are ratepayers also. And that's on top of broader infrastructure and capital needs, some of which will likely require issuing debt, and which is borrowing money. And some of that is because some of the costs for capital items are going up significantly. So, for example, we're trying to get ahead of that a little bit moving on a purchase for a fire engine that we don't need for a couple years, but A, the build times are so delayed, and B, the cost of that vehicle is going up more than $75,000 a year right now. And so we can reserve our place in line and save $150,000 or $225,000 by doing it sooner. But that's how much costs are going up for some of these really large items in the infrastructure space. And there's some major ones that are coming down the horizon. And we, at this point in our capital improvement plan, don't have a comprehensive facility analysis for our own municipally owned facility. So that is something that we're going to be doing in next year's budget. But that's also going to come with a price tag, which is making sure that over the next 10 years or 20 years, we have a sense of how much it's going to cost to, at minimum, adequately maintain our buildings. And perhaps we want to think bigger than that. Number five, all of this really means that and for details, we go into more in the day three of the budget presentations. We need a plan for new revenue. And there's really only three mechanisms. When we covered the different ways that a town can raise new revenue in the future. And there's really only, out of the five, there's really only three that we can sort of look at more seriously. And so what I mean by that is you can either cut costs, eliminate services by saving money, creating operational efficiencies, or eliminating entire departments or services, which is not something we've gotten the guidance to do, to eliminate services. And the cutting costs, we are already running surprisingly lean. Raising non-tax revenue is an important component of things. That's like our rate and fee schedule, but they can only be raised to match the cost of providing services. Borrowing money, not a great way to pay for rising costs. That only is going to come back to bite us in the future. Number four is to raise taxes on existing taxpayers, which is something that is part of the plan, unfortunately. And number five is to create new taxpayers, which we spend a little bit of time talking about on day three of the budget presentations. And it's an important point because it is the best dial that local governments have to create new revenue in the future, which is increasing the value of a property, for example, by, say, taking a vacant lot or a parking lot and turning it into parking plus commercial space plus residential space. Right? That will generate much more tax revenue than a parking lot. And the benefit here is not only is that a dial that local governments have to create new revenue in the future, but those are already goals that have been identified for decades and really clearly through the Sustainable Master Plan Advisory process. And we can see those values and goals in the draft of the master plan documents and some of the zoning amendments that are coming through the planning board. So all the goals are aligned here. It's just going to require a little bit more proactive, a little bit more integrated of a planning process. And that is the sixth kind of key budget takeaway, which I already talked about, which is this more integrated, goal-oriented budgeting process that involves, that's more interdisciplinary, more multi-stakeholder, a little more interactive in the community, and that basically, which is the larger framework that the budget fits into. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the budget process, this was a really, really brief overview of it. I'm going to be doing more short podcast episodes on Hanover Happenings in the coming weeks and months to make sure people have as much information about the budget as possible. If there's a topic that you'd like to hear a little bit more about, we'll talk a little bit about undesignated fund balances, about capital improvement plans, and some of the incoming debt service that we're likely to see. We'll talk about some of the key challenges that impacted our budget this year and some of the context and background behind some of the compensation personnel increases. So we'll go into that kind of stuff piece by piece. But if there's something that you want to hear about, please feel free to reach out to myself or our finance director. We will be happy to kind of incorporate that into what comes forward. So again, you can find more information at hanovernh.org. And if you're listening to this, likely the next opportunities for public feedback and interaction about the budget process at a public meeting, you can always reach out to me at any time, is March 20th, and then March 27th, and February 10th, April 10th and April 17th. All of those meetings are at 7:30 p.m. in Town Hall. Those are all televised on YouTube through CATV and Jam's channel. All of those links and documents are again posted to hanovernh.org/budget. So really appreciate you checking this out, learning more about the budget process. Look forward to hearing from people and seeing all of you hopefully before, but if not on May 9th at town meeting.